Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dunfermline this evening, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Craig Mill of Call Scotland. And this evening, over the next 20-25 minutes or so, we're going to be looking at iPad resources to support literacy difficulties. If you have a comment or a question for Craig, whether you're listening to the live stream or the podcast, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and just use the hashtag Edutalk. Welcome to Radio Edutalk, Craig.
Hi, David. Thanks for inviting me tonight.
Thank you so much for taking time out, and really looking forward to tonight's show. To start off with, could you just give listeners a bit of background to your own involvement in education and your career, and then tell us a bit about the work of Call Scotland?
Sure. I was, I guess, a bit of a late learner to education. I started university as a mature student, and I was doing social sciences. Then I started working at an FE college, and for whatever reason, I started off doing social sciences, but the college had a restructure. I ended up doing additional support years, or special needs, it was known at the time, and technology, and it kind of took off from there. And then had quite a long time working in FE, supporting students as well as university. And then Cole asked me to do some work for them as well. So I've been there for about 4 or 5 years now, Cole. So yeah, it's been good.
And many of our listeners will have come across Call Scotland before, but for the benefit of those who haven't, Craig, can you just give us a flavour about what kind of settings Call Scotland work in, what kind of young people, what kind of support needs, what kind of teachers and which kind of schools?
Yeah, well, Call's been around since about 1983, working as a research and development centre and also as a service unit. And I suppose in terms of, I mean, the main areas is assistive technology that Call supports, but within that we offer, you know, provide training for teachers, we provide strategic leadership, pupil assessment and support, professional learning training through our workshops and training and our webinars, also specialist information about maybe specialist technology, for example, pupils who might have augmentative and communication difficulties, or even through to dyslexia, physical difficulties. We can provide information, advice on how best to support those pupils with assistive technology. And of course, Call has a loan bank, so we can also provide equipment on a loan trial, so it saves money. You know, teachers or pupils can sort of try before they buy, and if it is the right bit of equipment, then that's good, and hopefully the school can buy it. But if not, they haven't wasted any money, so that's quite a valuable support. And we have a team of, you know, really skilled people, so we have a lot of, I suppose, experience with knowledge transfer, research and development. Yes, and we travel the length and breadth of Scotland. We have service-level agreements with a whole range of local authorities. So within that, we provide training, pupil assessments, and other services as well. So, yeah, we do quite a lot. We also have a couple of speech-language therapists in the team, and they deal more specifically with children who have communication difficulties as well.
And during this evening's show, no doubt we'll refer to many of the resources on the excellent Call Scotland website. And if you want to click along while we're speaking this evening, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's www.callscotland.org.uk.
Yeah, and when you come to the site, you can see just at the very top, we have some links to some of the mini projects that Call Scotland is very popular for. My colleague who's retired, Sally Miller, is responsible for doing communication passports, which is a first, probably in the world. Paul Nisbet, who's now the director of Call, is responsible for the Books for All site and the digital exams, that's it, the adapted SQA papers, as well as working with Sarah Prock and Scottish Government to provide the Scottish Voices as well. So, you know, it's a really resource-rich site that Call Scotland has.
I'm thinking back, it's a website that I've visited frequently over the years, and I think my first experience was downloading some of the resources around the communication passports. I think it was a fantastic idea, and one that we've used and adapted over the years in my own particular setting, with, you know, young people either moving care setting and education placement, or coming into as I looked after an accommodated child, you know, for the first time. So we found that a very, very powerful resource. But Craig, we're here tonight to talk about iPads, and you know, I'm thinking again back to my first involvement with or experience of working with or hearing from Call Scotland staff, and iPads have been around for a long time. Can you take us through really why they are so powerful for your staff and the teachers and young people that you work with?
Yeah, they probably feel as if they've been around for a long time, but I, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's only 5 or 6 years. So they feel as if they've been around for a long time, but they haven't really, you know, compared to, you know, other things like Windows and things like that. I guess part of the reason is just really part of the flexibility. The kind of operating system is always, the iOS is always evolving and improving. Previously in the past, when there have been pupils who've had communication difficulties and have used augmentative communication, those devices have tended to be extremely expensive. And the iPad doesn't suit all those pupils, but for some pupils, the price of an iPad and a communication app is significantly cheaper. So that's a really good, you know, sort of thing to have. Also, the built-in accessibility options are fantastic as well, part of the operating system. And just, I guess, the flexibility, the way that it can be used in class, the resources, the app store, all these things. And I guess we've kind of realised the potential that it can offer and developed, you know, a whole range of resources around that to make it more useful to pupils. For example, even reading a book from the Books for All database, for example, there are apps that which allow you to download, read the book, or if it's a Heinemann or a TG book, then you can interact with the book by filling in the number of boxes and the answer boxes and these sorts of things. So we've really kind of seen the kind of opportunities that the iPad has to offer and made the most of it.
And one of the resources on your website that I found most useful as I was preparing for tonight's show is the app wheel, or the wheel of apps. So can you just take us through that particular resource?
Yeah, sure. It was my colleague Alan Wilson who's responsible for that. When iPads were first coming out and people were writing up resources, people were developing lists of apps, which at the time was okay. But what Alan's done, he's really sort of, although it's essentially a list, he's kind of selected the apps that we've used with children. We know that they work well with pupils. Some come from developers who have a long tradition of developing software, so we know that, you know, that they're very good. The app wheel itself is visually, it's quite engaging. If you download the electronic copy from the site, the links are live, so you can click onto the icons and it takes you straight to the app on the App Store. But it's divided up into the kind of typical difficulties that someone with dyslexia may experience. So, for example, there's apps for planning, organisation. There's e-books. Again, there's that link to the Books for All database. There's potential there for pupils to create their own story, become their own author. So we've got a category in that. Book Creator, for example, is a prime example of an app which allows children to really create social stories and a whole range of things with these, just by, you know, recording audio or typing in or adding pictures, using the built-in camera, the microphone, all these sorts of things. So that's kind of it, that the app is really sort of broken into different categories: support for numeracy, support for reading, writing, And even I'm just looking, I've got the Google in front of me. One of the new things of the iPad is the ability to sort of download different kinds of on-screen keyboards. So rather than using the iPad's default keyboards, if you download a keyboard app, it kind of integrates into the system, and you can choose to have another keyboard other than the default one. So there's now clicker keyboards, there's text-to-speech keyboards, there's really bright, colourful keyboards with different kinds of engaging fonts. So we've really kind of taken them on board as well.
With that in mind, where there's kind of just sort of simple but effective tweaks to what's already there, through purchasing or downloading free apps. Again, thinking back to maybe previous workshops in the early stages or the early versions of iPads, am I right in saying, Craig, that there's lots of built-in accessibility tools? And you kind of touched on that a moment ago, but could you give us some actual examples of how the iPad can be really powerful?
Sure. Yeah, well, a few years ago we wrote a book called iPads for Communication, Access, Literacy and Learning. And in one of the chapters we spent quite a lot of time on exploring some of the features that were available. But the problem with the book is that it became outdated very quickly. And even though we updated it, it again became sort of outdated. So I thought it would be quite a good idea to do a series of infographs or posters, A3 size posters, that would kind of highlight the benefits of the built-in features to support pupils with different user needs. So in accessibility, for example, there's now options, very good options, to support learners with visual difficulties. So, for example, things like increasing the text size is quite good. There's the zoom feature, which allows you to zoom by pinching and tapping into bits of text. There's a little magnifying glass that you can move around. There's options to have high contrast on some of the e-books. And so these sorts of things are very useful. VoiceOver, for example, which is a sort of a screen reader, so it kind of interprets what it sees on the screen and reads it back. So that's a very powerful tool for blind people, or anyone actually who's blind and can use the device just to navigate around, especially if you have an external keyboard that you can attach, because then you can use that for typing rather than the on-screen keyboard, and it becomes a really powerful device. And when you see it in the hands of someone who is blind and is an experienced user using VoiceOver and iPad, it's amazing just how independent it's actually made them. So there's a whole category of visual difficulties where there's that sort of support available. Another area that's really become, very useful is the way that the iPad has developed support for pupils with physical difficulties. So, for example, we built in something called touch accommodation, so that maybe someone who can maybe touch the screen with their finger, but they have difficulties lifting their finger off the screen. So you can set a timer, a delay timer, to accommodate the amount of time or the strength or the weakness that person has to be able to touch the finger and lift off. It's also built in some of the traditional things that have always been around in Windows computer and Macs, such as sticky keys, slow keys, key repeat. So if you're a one-typist, a one-finger typist, and you need to do two keys at the same time, you can do all these sorts of things now. So it's kind of replicating what's already there. And a lot of the manufacturers have sort of developed a whole range of accessories to go with that. So we've got a Bluetooth joystick. So if you can't navigate the iPad with your hand or your fingers, you can attach a joystick control, and you can use that to navigate around. It has sort of buttons for clicking and typing icons. A switch control in the iPad is extremely powerful, where you can maybe attach a Bluetooth switch or a button, and you can sort of navigate around the iPad. And I actually had someone come in to see us just recently who wanted to play oh, it's one of these silly games. And she was unable to use a hand to access the iPad, but she was using a switch, a button type of control. And she wanted to know how she could do gestures like flicks and taps and these sorts of things. So that was a challenge, but actually we managed to do that. So now she's able to play a whole range of different games. And facilitating that, there's all sorts of iPad mounts that you can attach to a wheelchair as well. So, just for visual and physical difficulties, there's lots there to support pupils. But I think where it really comes into its own, and especially with the recent release of iOS 10, is really the tools that are available to support pupils with literacy difficulties. So, for example, one of the tools is called Speak Screen. So if you want to read internet pages or an e-book or emails or documents, those sorts of things, there's an option in accessibility under speech where you can just do a two-finger swipe down from the top of the screen and it starts reading the content on that screen, and you can play the speech faster, slower, pause it, that sort of thing. There's highlighting as well, so someone who maybe has asked public lights or a visual stress difficulty can maybe sort of actually see the word if it's being highlighted and synchronized with spoken text. We've got QuickType, so there's word prediction now, and what you can add to the operating system is that you can tap the words and hear it spoken aloud, so you know that you might be able to see the word, but you want to hear the word as well. And I think the best thing that we've got just now is something called typing feedback. So what typing feedback does, as you type an individual character or a word, the operating system reads that back. So that supports not just pupils with a dyslexia, literacy type difficulty, but it's also very powerful for people with visual difficulties as well. You might not have to make a lot of adjustments. You might maybe just make some enlarging the text and set on typing feedback so they can have their, they can hear what's, an example, I was with a pupil who had English as a second language with a visual difficulty. And he said it didn't matter if the teacher magnified the text because all he saw was magnified text. Hearing the text and seeing it made all the difference. That kind of, those two factors really brought another level of understanding for them. So these are the things that are all there in accessibility under, if you tap on settings, tap on general, then tap on accessibility, there's a whole range of categories that are just waiting to be exploited.
That's fantastic stuff, Craig. Now, you've given some, actual examples there, but I know you're keen to speak about a particular young people who we'll call Hamish as a kind of case study. So could you give us an idea about how the various, how the iPad has been used with Hamish to enhance his ability to access the curriculum?
Yeah, Hamish is a good one. This is a case study that we've got on the core website. We've just recently created some new dyslexia pages and Hamish's stories there. So this is a real life young lad who's 11 years old. He recently wrote an article for Dyslexia Scotland and about technology that he uses. Now, normally we tend to think that, it's complicated, and sometimes it can be complicated. But for Hamish, he wrote his own sort of personal story. He says, my name's Hamish, I'm 11 years old. I'm going to tell you about my experience using an iPad. He's been using it in primary 5. I believe he's now probably primary 8, maybe going into high school, I'm not sure. So he uses things like Siri. So he dictates text with Siri. He uses Speak Screen to have it sort of proofread for him. He uses Notability and OneNote for recording and organising and taking his notes. He uses Edmodo for his homework. He uses an app called Claro PDF for, that's the one I mentioned earlier, for reading books for all or for doing answer boxes in papers. He uses photos and video to support, in any kind of work that he's doing. And his conclusion is that I would recommend using an iPad to anyone. By using his iPad with text-to-speech, Siri, speech recognition, and these few apps, Hamish is an independent learner and definitely sounds like a successful learner, a confident individual, as a responsible citizen and an effective contribution. And I guess you have all the four elements of curriculum for excellence all there together.
And I suppose there'll be listeners at this point, Craig, where they'll be saying, you know, this is all great, fascinating stuff. Surely it must be about, you know, getting some kind of intensive support and intensive learning around this. It probably would have to be hands-on, you know, with an iPad in front of them. So with that in mind, could you maybe explain about how you're using webinars to assist with professional learning in this area?
Yeah, it's not all, you know, the iPad. There are issues with, there's issues obviously managing the iPads, and we've run sort of half day seminar on that. There's issues with Wi-Fi, there's issues with getting work off the iPads. You know, so all these things are problematic. But as you say, we do run seminars, and we also run webinars as well. So they tend to be once every 2 weeks. And the webinars are normally for 20 minutes, and we tend to have guest speakers as well as ourselves. I'm actually doing one on iOS 10 next Wednesday, I think it is. And they're kind of informal drop-in sessions where we can have the iPad on the computer screen, broadcast that out to whoever's watching, and really just go through step by step. Sort of tutorials, you know, click here, tap here, tap there, sort of thing. And, you know, there's an opportunity for people who are watching the webinar to maybe ask any questions, or if there's something we haven't understood, for us to go back over that again and just clarify any kind of points that they've missed or misunderstood. So it's a great way of sort of delivering training, and the workshops are free as well, and they're short, bite-sized, 20 minutes, and they're very popular as well.
And just to finish up, Craig, could you give us an idea about where the technology around the iPads is going? You know, or are we at a point where you know, the accessibility options are enough, or are you seeing or researching developments that are on the horizon that you think will be even more effective?
I recently wrote a blog post about iOS 10, saying it's kind of come of age, but, you know, there's always improvements to be made. One of the things I forgot to make was that what the iPad hasn't had built in is the ability to sort of change colour backgrounds, which is, you know, is important for many people, but that's now there as well. So hopefully, I'd like to think that, you know, things will become easier to use. Some of the issues about, you know, managing the iPads may become easier. So I guess it's really kind of fine-tuning what's already there and making improvements on what's already there, and just making it easier for pupils and for teachers, I think, to manage. Because, you know, we're working with that technology every day, and it's easy for us to forget that, you know, in some schools, you know, iPads aren't always the first sort of device of choice, or there's just a budget for iPads. And so we have to be aware of that, you know, that it's easy for us to run, but, you know, we have to maybe take a couple of steps back and just look at some of the basic kind of things to all teachers and pupils.
And just coming to the end of tonight's show, and just to finish up with, Craig, we've mentioned about the website, but if people want to find out more information, is there anybody else on the web or kind of key contacts that they can go to?
The website, as you mentioned earlier, www.callscotland.org.uk, or our email is call.scotland@ed.ac.uk. That's call.scotland@ed.ac.uk. Or the phone number is 0131 651 6235. That's 0131 651 6235. And if any of your listeners are always willing to, I'm always willing to take emails. So my email is Craig.mill@ed.ac.uk. ed.ac.uk. That's Craig.mill, M-I-L-L, at ed.ac.uk.
Craig, thank you so much for taking time out this evening, and best wishes to you and your colleagues at Call Scotland.